heads bowed, please. Father, as we gather in this place today, we gather in your presence. We are the sheep of your pasture, the flock that you have called together. And you are our good shepherd. And as we wait today, and as we worship today, and as we serve you today, in this time, in this moment, in this place, would you meet us here and feed the empty places of our souls? And be with us in the troubling places of our lives. Grant us rest, reassurance in the presence of our enemy, and the grace that we need, Lord, to continue to follow you. Follow you as the sheep of your pasture. We bring ourselves before you now. We worship you. We lay before you every struggle in our hearts and ask for your peace to prevail in this place. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, our great shepherd. For his sake we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Please be seated. We are in a series, a brief series, here at the end of the summer on the 23rd Psalm. I have not preached this psalm maybe once, maybe twice in 40 years of ministry. And it's not because it's not important. It's not because it is too obscure or obtuse to understand. It's this, to be honest with you. Let me just be honest. I can't teach y'all anything about this. There's nothing new to say about the 23rd Psalm. Anything I would say would be a redundancy to some of you. You just go, well, I knew that. Probably so. I mean, this is the most familiar religious writing, arguably, in the world. No other religion has a document that has the esteem that the 23rd Psalm, those six verses, have. And they were a psalm. Son, I'm grateful. I appreciate your kind comments, several of you last week, about the message and the service and the sheep and everything. I'm grateful for that. I appreciate that. It's kind of awkward. Those of you in here who preach and pastor, you don't always know what to say when somebody compliments you. You know how to duck if they're criticizing, but you don't know how to deal with it when they're saying something nice. And so you usually say something like, well, you know, you either say thank you, which is kind of, that just makes you look at me, which I'm awkward about. And the other side of it, the other extreme, is you say, well, thank you, but it really wasn't me, it was the Lord speaking. One lady walked up to her pastor at the end of the service and said, Pastor, that was a wonderful message today. And he said, well, thank you, ma'am, but that really wasn't me. That was the Lord. And she said, oh, no, it wasn't that good. So, you know, you can't win with this kind of stuff. But anyway, but I am grateful. I appreciate your feedback. It spoke to me. I need this more than probably you do today. I don't say that with false humility either. I seriously need this. And here's what we're going to do. My concern is not to teach you new things. You're not going to walk out of here with a notebook full of two or three different points that, okay, this is a teaching session. This is not. Let me borrow I believe it was a Scottish phrase. That some things are better felt than telt. And what I want for you is to feel this. I want you to experience this psalm on an emotional level, on a soul level. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me, but this is what I want for you. So if you're looking for an alliterated outline and a couple of quick points that you can go, hey, this is, you know, I didn't know this before, you're not going to get that out of this one. It's not going to happen. That's not where we are. And as much as I needed last week, I need this week more. So I'm going to preach this to me. If you want to listen, that's great. As I said, this is just a very familiar, you know, even if you're not a real churchy kind of person, you don't go to church a lot, maybe you're just in here for a visit with some friends or whatever today, family, mom made you come before you could eat lunch. You hear these words and you go, yeah, I know, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I know that, you know. The still waters, yeah, I know about the still waters, the green grass, the rod, the staff, the oily head, you know, I know all these things. And the danger with this psalm is you can know all of those things and not know the shepherd of the psalm. And that's where a lot of us find ourselves. You know, this song is in a lot of popular music, throughout the years, classical music. Bach's written several pieces around the 23rd Psalm and symphonies. You know, those kind of things have been popularized. Even hip-hop music today uses the 23rd Psalm. Anybody, I'm looking at this group. This is a little different group than last week or last night, but... Coolio, Gangster's Paradise. Anybody awake now? Okay. So, you want me to sing it? I can sing it for you if you want me to. The last service wanted me to sing it, and so. I walked right into that one, Andy. I did not see that. I didn't see you back there. I should have known you would do this to me. All right, well, we can just go home now. So, it's a very well-traveled path on the 23rd Psalm. And yet, as much as some of us need it today, we're wandering everywhere but. And I want to kind of pull us back to the path this morning. So what we're going to do is just again look at the words of the 23rd Psalm, and you know, one of the things that we don't know, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Again, it was a psalm. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we know this. We know David wrote this psalm. God inspired by his spirit. David. King David. But we don't know when he wrote it. We don't know if he wrote it when he was a young teenage shepherd boy keeping his family's flock out in the field. Maybe that's when he wrote it. Maybe he wrote it on the heels of his victory against Goliath. He wrote it then. Maybe he wrote it from one of the caves that he was hiding out in the wilderness from a crazy king named Saul or a crazy son named Absalom. Maybe he wrote it at the end of his life as he was looking back over the goodness of God. We don't know. We don't know when it showed up. I do know this, as a king, David was confused at times. He struggled. He didn't always know which way to go. He understood shepherding. He understood how important it was for the sheep to follow the shepherd. But sometimes he struggled to follow his shepherd. And he found himself in places of confusion, making bad decisions, in places of crisis and turmoil. And maybe that's exactly where some of you are today. You have not followed your shepherd. You find yourself in that place of confusion and chaos. Things are upside down, and you don't know how they got there, and you're not sure how to get them right side up again. You know, maybe this is just a season of crisis and confusion. It's nothing you've done. It just is here. You've had a traumatic event, and it's disoriented you. You've lost a job. Maybe you've suffered a miscarriage of a child or a miscarriage of justice, or a spouse left you. We need the good shepherd. We need to be led. We do not need to lead ourselves. Author Louis Giglio wrote a little piece that he said, "I am my own shepherd." Some people say, "Well, I don't follow anybody." Now, a lot of us have people we follow. Maybe you have somebody on Instagram. You go, "Well, whatever they say, I'm going to do that because they're smart." Maybe it's a workout video or a recipe site or something like that, and you follow that person, or you have a radio personality. Whatever they say is going to be it. We all follow people. We look out. We reach out for people to get our bearings from. They're not always wise people. In fact, they very seldom are. But we listen to people. Some people say, "Well, not me. I'm my own shepherd." Giglio wrote this. He said, "Well, if you think you're your own shepherd, here's the 23rd Psalm for you. I am my own shepherd, and I'm a mess. I don't have everything I want. I wouldn't know still water if it splashed me in the face. My soul is a mess." That's what happens when you lead yourself. But the idea of being led is the focal point. I don't know where you are right now. Are you in a place in your life where you go, "God, I just need to know, what do you want me to do? How are you leading? What direction you want me to go? What is the path?" Now, I'm not going to tell you at the end of this sermon that God is going to show you who your next wife is going to be, or your husband, or which house you should buy or which car you should go out and buy. I'm not saying that. But God is very, very interested in the details of your life. And he wants to lead you if you're willing to follow. So how is God doing that? You know, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more convinced I am of this. The most important two things we need to learn in life, number one, is who to follow, and number two, how to follow them. Who do we follow? How do we follow them? So let me just kind of extract two or three thoughts from the 23rd Psalm and frame them as questions. The first question being this: why does God lead us? Why does God lead us? Well, the Bible tells us he leads us for our good. You know, the psalm ends with the statement, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness is going to follow me. All right, now here's what some of you are saying. When? Because right now, I don't feel a lot of goodness. In fact, I feel just the opposite of that. So, when does this goodness show up? I'm interested. When does it get here? Here's a statement I want you to sit with for a moment. Not original with me. The arc of God's goodness, the arc of God's goodness always takes longer than we think. The process of getting from where we are to good usually a longer journey than we think it is. We want it to be instantaneous. Well, goodness, okay, right here, I'm going to quote Psalm 23, and then everything's going to turn good, right? No. He leads you. He leads you. But his ultimate goal is for your goodness and for his glory. That's the path that we're on. You know, we don't always understand the path that God puts us on. He wants to lead us. Romans 8 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Let me compress this for you. Israel, Old Testament, coming out of Egypt, out of slavery in the book of Exodus, goes into the wilderness, is led by two things. Number one, is led by a pillar of fire by day and a cloud, or a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, let me ask you a question. In your mind right now, how big is that? How big is that pillar of fire? How big is that cloud? The cloud covered the nation during the day, protected them. The fire lit up their path at night. All right, here's what I want you to think about. 1 million people. That big. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. That's the Spirit of God. That is the personification of the Spirit of God. And you think, well, wouldn't things be simpler today if we could just follow the big cloud or follow the big pillar of fire? Yes, in some ways. No, in others. Because everything that was in that pillar of fire and that cloud is now in you through the Holy Spirit. So you don't need a cloud to guide you. You have the person of God inside of you to guide you. You don't need fire to light your way. You have the presence of God inside of you to light your way. All of this. And here's what the Bible says. God wants to lead you. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children of God. In other words, if you're not led by God, you're not God's. Because God leads the children that are his. He leads those who are his. And if you go, well, I don't know what you're talking about, leadership. Well, it may be that you don't know what we're talking about with being a Christian. Because those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. He leads his children. He doesn't leave his children stranded even in the wilderness that you may be in today. He leads us. He leads us, secondly, he leads us for the gospel. He leads us for the gospel. You know, he doesn't always tell us exactly the way that we need to go in every situation. When Abram left, he was out in the middle of nowhere. Ur of the Chaldees basically meant middle of nowhere in Babylon. So it was just this isolated place. And he called Abram out of there and said, I'm going to show you a place to go. Take your family, pack everything up, take your family with you and go. So they left. Listen. Not having any idea which way to go. God didn't say, now leave the camp and go left. Or take a ride at the next sand dune. You know, he didn't give him any directions. Follow the paths of people's feet. There's nothing to follow. He followed God. How did he do that? Same way you do. The presence of God led him. Now, you know, men are notorious for not stopping for direction. I mean, the invention of GPS has saved so many male egos. You know, we don't have to ask our wife, well, honey, I'm lost. Where do we go? What's the map say? You know, you just plug your little deal in and it tells you. But Abram didn't have directions. The father of the faith walked by faith, followed by faith, and that's what we do. That's what we do. And God still speaks. You know, he spoke to Abram in dreams and visions. He still speaks to people around the world in dreams and visions today. There's a guy in India. In fact, he lives north of Madras, India. His name is Sadhu Chalapa. And one night, in the middle of the night, Sadhu Chalapa was awakened, urgently awakened, by a sense that God was telling him to leave his house quickly. So he got up immediately and left his house. And God then said, "Now run." So in the middle of the night, Sadhu Chalapa is running through the streets of his village. If somebody would have stopped him and said, "Oh, where are you going?" "I don't know." "Well, do you need a ride? Can we help you get there?" "I don't know where I'm going." Well, strange man this would be. He kept running. He kept running. Got to the outskirts of his village, left the lights of the village, left the fires of the village, and he kept going deeper into the woods in the middle of the night, not knowing where he was going. He just knew God said run, and he was running. And he said, this has happened before. I've had strange things like this happen before. He said, "I've just learned to obey the voice." So I ran. Finally, he came to this large tree. He said, "It felt like God said, stop here." So he stopped and shared the gospel. So he sat out in the middle of nowhere, nobody around, the darkness of the night under the tree. "I began to share the gospel. God so loved the world. I preached the gospel of grace under the tree in India. And when I finished, I heard a rustling in the tree over top of me. And I heard a man's voice sobbing." I said, "The man came down." I said, "What are you doing up in the tree?" And the man said, "I came here to hang myself. But I heard what you said, and I want to know that God." What if, Chalupa said, "Well, that's too strange. I'm sorry. God, you're going to have to be a little bit more specific about what you want me to do. Why am I going there? Why are you doing this to me?" Do you know how many times in my life God has not told me why? More than he has. You see, what we want is to be able to sign off on, "Well, okay, all right, well, I'm good with that. I'm good with preaching in the middle of the night under a tree in India. That's okay, I'll do that. That's fine." You know what God wants? He wants pre-approval. He wants you ahead of time to say, "This is what it's going to be about to follow me." "Well, what if I don't like it?" Doesn't matter. I've got your pre-approval form. You're pre-qualified. You're going to do what I told you to do. God leads us. He leads his children. How is he leading you right now? What is he urging you to do? You're going, "Oh, I can't. No, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that." He's your shepherd. How does he lead you? Secondly, well, he leads you by his voice. Shepherds have these unique sounds and tunes and whistles and clicks and things that they use. They even have a way of saying the sheep's name. The sheep recognizes the name. Jesus said, remember the verse? "My sheep hear my voice." And they what? Follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Sometimes he speaks to us through his word. Sometimes he speaks to us through a person. Sometimes it's a podcast, a sermon, a book you're reading, your husband or your wife or your parents or a trusted friend. Elijah the prophet was in the wilderness running from Jezebel, the queen, and he ran into a cave where God spoke to him. And he tells us what God's voice sounds like. He said, "It's not an earthquake. It's not the sound of a hurricane. It's the sound of a still, small voice. Well, Pastor, I never hear from God. I don't know what you're talking about. I never hear from God. Are you ever quiet? Don't look at each other. Just answer the question. Are you ever quiet? Do you ever build quiet into your life? Intentionally? No, that's a waste of time. Do you ever stop music input? People talking? If you got preschoolers, you're hopeless. But the rest of us don't have that excuse. Do you listen? He leads us by his presence. You know, sometimes God just leads you by showing up. He says, I'll be with you always. I will always be there. Lo, I am with you always. He says this repeatedly in the Bible. When we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we need to remember something. You know, today, folks, man, some of you may be in the toughest place of your life today. I mean, this may be the worst. You say, you want to talk about the valley of the shadow of death? I'm in it. You know, the valley of the shadow of death, the Hebrew word is alamut, which means really, really dark, scary place. How about that for a translation? You are in that very, very dark, scary place today. And you don't know which way to turn. You don't know. It's dark. It's shadowy. Can I tell you something? The valley of the shadow of death, you know, and you may be listening, you're listening today, and you may be in a hospice ward, you may be in a prison cell, you may be getting ready to take chemotherapy, you may be processing through what is it going to look like now that my husband or wife is gone. It's a dark place. The valley of the shadow of death. But listen, here's the good news in that. Scientifically proven. If there's a shadow, dear one, some of you came in here today with your shadow, didn't you? If there's a shadow, what else is there? There's a shadow. There's a light. Okay? What would that circumstance that you're dealing with right now, what would that look like? What would that circumstance look like if you really and truly believed that God was in it with you? Now, let me tell you why I'm asking you that, because many of us, when we walk into a difficult time, we leave God outside. Well, I guess I got to go face that. No, you don't. God is going to go face it with you, for you. Where did you think that it's ever all on you? When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid because I am with you. What if you really believe that? What if God was really with you in that difficulty? How would that change it? How would that change that prognosis, that diagnosis, that job interview? How would it change it? If you really and truly believed the shepherd was with you. You know, we need a different kind of faith than many of us have. Many of us do not have the right kind of faith. You have to have an even though faith. And even though faith. And even though faith. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even if, put it that way. Even if. When my wife was, we'd kind of moved on a couple of months into her cancer journey, and honestly, I was in denial. I didn't believe it. I thought, God's going to do something. God's going to turn this around. God's going to blow this thing up. God's going to come through. God's going to do a miracle. It's going to happen. Pam believed the same thing. I think she was just kind of feeding off of what I was believing, but I was in denial. And about that time, about June, my daughter sent me a song, which she does sometimes. She'll just send me a song to encourage me or whatever. This one didn't encourage me. This one made me mad. I thought God was going to do something about my problem. I thought, God, for your glory, I know this is all about your glory. You're going to fix this. And Allison got there before the rest of us did. And she said, Daddy, you need to listen to this song. And I started listening to it, and I just got mad and stopped it. It was a song by Mercy Me, and the song said this. Let me just read a couple of verses. The song says, I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my faith is in you alone. My hope is in you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. You've been faithful and you've been good. All of my days, Jesus, I will cling to you because come what may, I know you're able. I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. What if he doesn't save? What if he doesn't fix the problem? What happens to your faith then? And even though faith, and even if faith, will press on through that wall. And I wasn't ready to have that kind of faith. I got there. The morning Pam died, the first song I put on to listen to was that song. Even if you don't, Lord, my hope is in you alone. And trust your shepherd. He'll lead you the way you need to go. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. Even in the shadow, his light will be there to guide you. Pray with me, please. Father, I know that there are some here today who are in a very, very tough place. I won't pretend to know exactly what they're going through in this moment. You know where they are, and you don't lose track of your sheep, even when we sometimes forget where the church is. You don't walk away from us, give up on us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and today, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Those who are struggling maybe the most right now, and they kind of wonder where you are. They don't know. They don't understand what they're going through. They don't understand. Maybe some of us today are being led in a way we don't even understand why you're leading us that way, and you're not explaining it to us. You don't have to, because it's all about trust at the end of the day anyhow. May we, and as I prayed at the beginning, Father, may we sense the reality of your presence. May we know that even if the worst does come, and if you're with us, we're going to be okay. May we have that hope this morning. And will you meet us with your grace as we close this time together? Father, for those who do not know Jesus, maybe they're like the man in the tree. They're done. They're ready to end it all. They're just ready to finish, be finished with it. They don't want to go any further. They don't want to press on. May they know that there's hope in Jesus. That if he would go to the extent of sending a man out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night to tell someone that there's hope, that he'll find us and pursue us too. Draw us to yourself today, Lord, as we bring ourselves to you as our shepherd, we pray. In Jesus' name. Will you stand, please, and you come as God leads.